This is Song Crush. I'm Kirsten Johnstone, and joining me today is Sarah Thompson, BFM's music programmer, and I'm told the voice of Fern the Fairy on The Mo Show.
You're correct there, kia ora.
And Tony Stamp, hello.
Hello.
How do you guys feel about Nick Cave? Just let's lay this on the table, because a lot of people I know really dislike him. A lot of people love him. Yeah.
I don't fully subscribe to the cult of Nick Cave, but I felt like I was the only one until moments ago when I asked Sarah the same question, and she's not a huge fan either.
I can absolutely respect his body of work. It's a fantastic body of work, but I definitely live and work amongst a lot of people who are card-carrying cult of Nick Cave members.
Okay, I don't think I fit into the cult of Nick Cave either, but I recognise that he has some amazing songs, and I appreciate that he has always developed what he does. So he's just released a double album. It's called Ghosting, and this is his proper grief and relief album after the death of his son in 2015, Skeleton Tree, that came out soon after in 2016. Despite it being the harrowing listen it was mostly actually written after Arthur died. So since then, Nick Cave has been reevaluating the meaning of life, as you do when you go through something like that. Did either of you make it to a speaking tour last year?
No, but a woman where I work did and was suitably swoony. But as I say, she's another card-carrying member. Shout out Penny Black.
But I've been hearing reports back from it, both from when he spoke in New Zealand and also in other countries, that he's basically just completely changed his relationship with the public, where if someone asks a, you know, stupid question, he's just incredibly generous and respectful and gives them as much of his time as he can.
Whereas so early Nick Cave would have told them to piss off.
Exactly, yeah.
Or bottled them or something.
Yeah, exactly. So... So the talk was very much about death, grief, love and religion. And he made the comment, the terrible secret of grief is the beauty of it. And that quote really struck me. And this album really is the musical expression of that statement. He also talked about the fact that there was his life before and his second life now, in which he's trying to feel that connectedness with his family and friends and fans. So lyrically, this album is about his son. There are ghosts all through it, as well as lots of Bible and fairy tale characters, butterflies, fireflies and children. Sonically, and you can hear this, the title track under us now, Ghosting, is an emotional, misty-eyed wash of synths and strings and piano and ethereal backing vocals. You know, it's kind of like a big-budget movie score. I hear composers like Vangelis here, maybe moments of Sigur Rós. And since Nick and his collaborator Warren Ellis have been working in that field of writing for film for a while, that's no surprise. But it may put off anyone who liked the earlier, angrier, guitar-flanked Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds or the Birthday Party, you know, hello Penny Black, Lisa McMillan, when the chorus of this 12-minute song opens out. It really is that glorious moment in Cave's movie where you step onto the cover of the album, all dappled sunlight, airbrushed unicorns and pink flamingos. It's the euphoria after the darkness.
This world is beautiful, held within its stars. I keep it in my heart. The stars are your eyes. I love them right from the start. World so beautiful, and I keep it in my heart. Ghosting dances in my head, slowly twirling, twirling all around. here we go.
That's Nick Cave, the title track from Ghostine. What do you guys think?
I will say that I prefer mellow Nick Cave. Like, my favourite Nick Cave things are The Boatman's Call and his soundtrack with Warren Ellis to The Assassination of Jesse James.
Yeah, I mean, this is big and cheesy, but I love what he's done here.
Cheesy's an interesting word.
This is a big comparison for me because, you know, we were talking about the Nick Cave Club. I'm a card-carrying member of the Scott Walker Club. And that kind of, the reinvention that Scott Walker had in his career, becoming someone who went from doing quite cheesy things to embracing an almost cabaret jazz hands, but also sitting in darkness, a really kind of ambient, eerie darkness.
Mm.
That's definitely on play here.
Yeah, well worth a listen.
I mean, a long listen. No, I don't think there's any drums, but lots and lots of synths and strings and stuff.
Yeah.
And what was the thing when it was released? The quote was that the songs on side two are the children of the songs on side one. Is that right?
No, the other way around. So the songs on side two, which are the longer ones, the 12-minute, the 14-minute, they are the parents of side one. So
yeah.
I think, you know, side two was the big long jams and side one just the little bits taken out. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Sarah, you've been listening to a pianist named Robert Glasper.
I have indeed. So Robert Glasper is an American pianist and record producer in his early 40s. He's probably best known for his work on Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. He played keys on 5 tracks on that, I believe. And also his contentious comments about Lauryn Hill. He once said that she is not a nice person. She steals her musicians' music and kind of advised collaborators not to collaborate with the woman.
Do you think that there is truth to that?
I love Lauryn Hill. I can also appreciate that she seems like quite a difficult woman to work with.
Mm.
But it probably says more about Robert Glasper's way of working, which leads us to his latest release. He's an incredibly collaborative performer.
Mm.
The mixtape, as he's calling it, which came out just over a week ago, came out on the same night as his month-long residency at New York's Blue Note Jazz Club started. And the features list on this mixtape is pretty formidable. We've got Yasin Bey, formerly known as Mos Def, Bilal, Denzel Curry, Rhapsody, Mick Jenkins, Herbie Hancock, James Poyser, Terrace Martin, and so on and so on. It's funny, we were just talking about Nick Cave's album being a bit of a jam session. This is absolutely a jam session. He invited people to a New York studio over the course of a few days and just said, let's make something together. So while the tracks on the album, and I believe there are about 19 of them, aren't perfectly formed beginning, middle and end pop nuggets, they're very, very interesting. And the reason I picked the one I picked is it has two women guesting on it. One is Musina, who is a Grammy-nominated kind of soul R&B singer from Washington, D.C., and a international champion slam poet called Queen Sheba, who has some of the best kiss-off lines I've heard in recent time committed to tape.
The best to ever be, ever be. Decided your life is a complete waste because I let you look at me. Nah, you're not a failure, just an alternative to success. You will rust. Your perspective is weakened by emotion. Giving me everything I want has nothing to do with me. Your declaration of self-esteem screams just the opposite. Laughable in my diary. You enjoy being beached, stuck in clone relationships, losing quality and resolution with each copy of me. Teach your smile to become habit. Maybe you'll stop getting kicked out of places you don't own. Here's my first lie.
I'll be here when you get home. Stop texting me about shopping. I'd rather be cleaning the grout in the bathtub after 48 visitors than be seen with you in a shopping mall. I'd rather be threading my eyebrows after a sunburn alone than with you at all. But we all know how
Queen Sheba, you know, saying lots of things that I would love to say to some ex-boyfriends.
just making it so benign and domestic. Stop texting me about shopping. I'd rather be cleaning the grout in the bathtub after 48 visitors than be seen with you in the shopping mall. Yes, thank you.
That's Robert Glasper, Ah Woe, featuring Musina and Queen Sheba. Tony, you've got Sidan Archives, who we actually played on Song Crush last week when Yarana was hosting, but Sidan Archives was the feature guest on Dexter Stories track.
Yeah, so this is a woman named Brittany Denise Parks, who, as you say, goes under the pseudonym Sidan Archives. She's a singer, producer, and notably a violinist, and has an interesting story behind her. Her stepdad tried to turn her and her twin sister into pop stars when they were teenagers, which they both rebelled against. But I guess they were, you know, pretty good singers even then. Then she changed her name to Sudan when she was about 17, I think, so after that, and was then kicked out of home. I don't know why she picked the name Sudan, other than she said she's influenced by Sudanese fiddling, which is where the violin sort of comes in.
Yeah, who even knew that there were fiddles in Sudan? I didn't.
Nor did I.
Or that there was a style of Sudanese fiddling.
That's our homework for the night.
Yeah.
So her first album, Athena, is coming out on the 1st of November. I think it's the first time she's worked with other producers. There was about five of them, including Washed Out and the hip-hop producer Paul White, who works a lot with Danny Brown. Yeah, she's had a string of EPs and singles, but this song, Confessions, is the first time that I think all the elements have really clicked for me. I mean, it's just a song that I have been listening to for the last month or so and will continue to do so for a long time. It's really stuck in my head. Her songwriting's gone up a level. And yeah, as I say, you know, her voice, the song structure, and like crucially the violin playing, because that's kind of her, you know, ace in the hole, all really complement each other, where it just all makes sense. And musically, I think, is really sort of, what's a good adjective here, guys?
Mint.
It's mint.
Let's just hear the track.
It's okay. Gelling. There you go.
That's great. Yeah, it all gels.
Back up and sailed and failed. I'm too unique to kneel. I washed away my fears and trust in my own ears. My own regret revealed. There is a place that I call home, but it's not where I am welcome. And if I saw
Sudan Archives, Confessions. Yeah, you can hear a little bit of her story in that lyric. There is a place I call home, but it's not where I'm welcome.
Oh, so yeah.
I think that's
I hadn't
that's
made that
lyric.
Connection, yeah.
Yeah.
I just love that chorus. It's when that swooping sort of violin comes in. You know what I mean? The whole thing really takes off. It just makes sense.
Yeah. I really like this. Also, it reminded me of Kelsey Liu. She's a classical cellist making incredible avant R&B, very similar to this. She released a song called Due West that I played earlier in the year here on Song Crush. Definitely check that one out if you like that. Tony, remember that time we got a song in our inbox from a 13-year-old named Annabelle about how she loved her dog?
That's right. Yes, I do now.
And it was
heartwarming.
Super heartwarming, super charming. I think maybe we're in for a revival of the songs about dogs genre. What are some other songs about dogs that you guys love?
There is a PHF Perfect Hair Forever Rather track which came out this week called Good Girl. And it is an ode to the leader of PHF's brand new puppy.
They're an Auckland punk band, is that right?
They are, yes. Kind of noise punk pop. And it features looped dog barks as well. It's something pretty special.
There was also an EP by Auckland band Dad Jokes called Dog's Best Friend.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Cat Stevens, I love my dog. Still, when it comes on the radio, I love that song. I love the sentiment to it. You know, Stooges, I Want to Be Your Dog. I think we should do an entire dog playlist.
I just Googled songs about dogs and Martha, My Dear by the Beatles came up. I didn't realise that.
I was mentioning to both of you off air, I think, you know, times are sad out there. We need songs about pets.
Black Dog by Led Zepp, although I think that might be about something else.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. Let the dogs out.
Yeah. Let's leave that one off the playlist.
Yeah, I think that's also about something else.
So here's another song about a dog, a golden retriever, to be exact. It's by Tauranga-based musician Edward Gaines. He's a DIY lo-fi artist who's been putting out music for over 20 years and kept at it, even though I'm fairly sure only a handful of people in New Zealand would know his name. I'm probably sitting with two of them.
I just before went, oh, it is the same Edward Gaines from 1996.
Yeah, exactly. So this song is just so completely uncomplicated in subject and form, and it just felt like an antidote to the turmoil of life in these wild times. This is Ed Gaines. I Want to Live Like a Golden Retriever.
I want to live like a golden retriever, run till I'm done, then lie in the sun. I want to live like a golden retriever, make you laugh and fill you with love. Oh no, we ain't got too long to go. For a body gets old and dies, but don't sit around and cry. Get out in the sun and live your best life.
Ed Gaines, I Want to Live Like a Golden Retriever. Live your best life, guys.
I'm with him.
It's good to know that there are versions of that song for whatever mood you're in as well. Like that's the acoustic version, right? Then there's quite a raucous version with sampled dog barks in the background, which I do believe is Edward's own golden retriever Milkshake.
Right, yes. And so is the punk rock version, is that the one that's getting played on BFM?
I have to admit, yes, it is.
You can find Edward Gaines on Bandcamp. There are some pretty great songs amongst his extensive catalogue if your tolerance for lo-fi four-track recordings is high. Thoroughly recommend a song called Shit Magnet from back in 1996. Sarah, you've been listening to the comeback of well-loved New York indie band Vivian Girls.
I have, and what a consistently wonderful album. A lot of the time when a band you love comes back after a hiatus, this time I think it's an 8-year hiatus since Vivian Girls put out an album. Mm-hmm. You go, oh, I'm glad they're back, but how good can it be? It's so good. It's so consistently good. I struggled to pick a song from the album to playlist on 95BFM because I went, oh God, what about this one? Oh no, it's definitely that one. I'm happy with the one I picked. It's the one I've brought in for you today. It's all the things, if you are familiar with North Brooklyn DIY noise pop band, the Vivian Girls, you loved the first time around. Obvious love for Burt Bacharach, the Ronettes, but also the Wipers kind of smushed in there. Lots of big walls of guitar, but all harmonized perfectly with pedals on voices, pedals on guitars, pedals on everything, basically. This is the, well, I guess what people would call the classic lineup, although there is a New Zealand connection. The last album Vivian Girls put out had Fiona Campbell playing drums, who used to be in Kiwi band The Coolies and Guardian Singles. Sadly, not on this release, but yeah, it's just so consistently fantastic. This track, dynamically soupy, optimistic, but at the same time quite insecure. They sit on in a weird liminal space of both being happy and poppy. Yeah, it's a good tone.
It's Vivian Girls, All Your Promises. What's the album called, Sarah?
It's called Memory.
That crashing in of the cymbals and the guitars, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that build from it.
It keeps going.
Yeah.
It keeps going for a while. It's the longest song on Memory, but it's still only 4.5 minutes. They can't escape their pop structure.
Yeah.
The three women in Vivian Girls, a lot has changed for them. They moved from New York, all of them. They all now live in LA. There are LA palm trees on the cover of Memory. Mm. It all feels very noise pop, but it feels much more imbued with the insecurities of being female and older than you once were at your peak. Comment as to whether that's something I find
relatable,
endearing and relatable.
Why did Vivian Girls break up in the first place?
It's a combination of things, but it definitely wasn't helped by the time they were at their most popular. So it was kind of the peak of the blogosphere, and they all had comment sections that would just absolutely rip apart any band that seemed to have any kind of feminist angle or bent. Mm. Get attacked for not being able to play your instruments, say that you use pedals because you can't play your guitars. They split up because, in their own words, apparently things were just too intense. They all kept making music, but then they came back together because they went, hey, we're bigger than that now.
Yeah, and I hope that the world is bigger than that. But
yes, I hope so too.
Yeah. Lastly, Tony, we're going to go to a big name, Björk.
Indeed. I love her. She put out an album a few years ago called Utopia, which was a collaboration with the producer Arca, and is a love album, basically. Mm. An album of love songs.
Wasn't it her Tinder album? Isn't that what she called it?
She did describe it as that at one point, yes.
That totally makes sense, yeah. So I'm going to play a newly released remix of one of those songs called Features Creatures. It's remixed by The Knife, who are a Swedish duo. They are siblings, Karen and Olof Dreyer. They officially disbanded in 2014, but have sort of kept popping their heads up to do various things together. And Karen has her project, Fever Ray. The Knife I kind of think of as a techno duo, although this is definitely not a techno song. So it kind of takes the original, which is very, very mellow, comparable to the Nick Cave song we heard earlier, in that there's no percussion or anything. It's Bjork's voice over some sort of ambient drones and a choir. And it's transformed it into this, you know, fist-pumping, uplifting, Cuban procession-sounding jam, which is just really feel good and suits the lyrics really well, because it is, a love song.
What a perfect pairing, these two artists.
Yes.
Well, let's hope that it's the start of a long and fruitful collaboration between the two acts. That's Song Crush for the day. Thank you, Tony Stamp. Thanks, Sarah Thompson. You can find our Spotify playlist. Search Song Crush. That's two words. This is Bjork, Features Creatures, The Knife remix.